talk a little bit about holy relationships, holy or godly relationships, and why it's so important to make sure that you let, you be careful about who you let into your circle. Be careful about who you let into your circle, who you partner with, who you join yourself with, especially as a saint. As a saint, especially when you're striving your best to please Jesus, you want to make sure that you have people around you that are going to help you keep your mind on Jesus. Now, Sister Kirsten, I think, passed out the scriptures this morning. There are two examples there that we're going to look at, that we want to make sure we avoid these kind of connections. And I was kind of torn between two thoughts, really, today. I was going to talk about the eyes of the Lord in every place. But then my mind started drawn towards, like, relationships, connections. All right? All right. So, the first one is in 1 Kings. Let's go over to 1 Kings. Now, these two examples that we're going to read about first is Ahab and Jezebel, and then Ananias and Sapphira. These are relationships that we want to avoid, okay? And the text scripture for the lesson this morning is going to come from Proverbs chapter number 16:25. Proverbs 16:25. And when someone gets that, they can read it. And then, as I said, we're going to go over to 1 Kings chapter number 16. Proverbs 16:25. That's one of your verses to remember.
There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end there are other ways of death.
All right. Does everybody see that? There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So as saints, we need to really make sure that we consult Jesus with who it is that we're striving to connect with, whether it's on a friendly relationship basis or whether we desire to go into a long-term committed relationship. We really need to consult Jesus before we make a decision, because the enemy would love to make you think you're doing right when you're doing wrong. And then he'll love to make you think you're doing wrong when you're actually doing right. All right? So, 1 Kings chapter number 16, and then we're going to look at starting at verse number 30. 1 Kings chapter number 16, and starting at verse number 30. It says, "And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, I'm sorry, and went and served Baal and worshipped him." Verse 32, "And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria." Verse 33, "And Ahab made a grove." A grove is like an image, a statue. "And Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him." All right? Now, again, relationships or partnerships or friendships are a matter of human choice. You choose these connections. You choose who you want to partner with or who you desire to bring into your circle. All right? And you can see the damage that you do to yourself when you befriend somebody you really shouldn't befriend. Ahab chose Jezebel. And according to the scripture, Jezebel pulled Ahab from serving the God that delivered Israel from day one. Jesus was the one that brought Israel out of Egypt because they had cried all of those many different years. And what had been gone down through generation, from generation to generation, for them, they were told not to forget the Lord and also not to bother with the other nations. He said these other nations, that what Deuteronomy chapter number 7 says, don't bother with these other nations because these people will turn you away from serving me. Go over to Deuteronomy chapter number 7 really quick. 7 and verse number, Deuteronomy chapter number 7 and verse number 2.
And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee,
yes,
thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with
don't
them.
Don't make no agreements
show
with them.
Mercy unto
don't
them.
Show them any mercy. Why? Keep going.
Neither shalt thou make marriages with them.
That's true. Now these are what I'm talking about when I'm talking about relationships, friendships, bonds, connections. I know a lot of times we try our best. No one wants to be alone. It's not in the human nature for you to be alone. Jesus told Adam it wasn't good for him to be alone, right? Y'all remember that in Genesis? No? All right, let's go over to Genesis. I don't want nobody to take my word for it. Genesis chapter number 2. Maybe you think that that's the idea of the Lord. You say, well, I like to be by myself. I don't want nobody else around me. But that's not how Jesus made you. Right? Chapter number 2 and verse number 18 of Genesis. Genesis 2 and 18.
And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone.
Now, why would you let your minds think different from Jesus? Jesus said, it's not good for you to do what?
Be alone.
To be alone, right? The Lord says, but I'm going to do what? Make him a help me. Now, this is why it's so important as saints to make sure we make the right choices, especially when it comes down to friendships, partnerships, companionships. And it's important to understand, again, these relationships that we seek to establish. The Lord already told you in your makeup that it's not good for you to be alone. But the key is that you need to let the Lord do what? Make you a helpmeet.
Right?
Right?
Yes.
You don't go do it yourself. Because remember what the proverb letter says, there is a way that seems right, but the end thereof are the ways of death. In other words, you got to be careful about your choices because your choices could end up killing you. All right. Does everybody understand that? Your choices could end up killing you. You need to let the Lord do it. Let the Lord do it. Let the Lord not just make friends for you, but also make companions for you. All right? To make friends for you and companions for you. Jesus said, I already know the challenge that you face as being a human. You're not a lonely creature. You are not designed to be a lonely creature. That you were designed to be lonely, Jesus would have left Adam in the garden by himself. But Jesus says in verse number 18, it was not good for man to do what? Be alone. But the Lord said, let me deal with your loneliness. Let Jesus deal with your loneliness. He said, let me give you a helper. Right? Whether you're a male or a female, let the Lord give you a helper. Let the Lord give you somebody to journey through life with. You know, somebody that's going to benefit you, that's going to help you. Somebody that's going to encourage you. Someone that's going to be there to motivate you. When you're feeling down, you don't want nobody wrong in your corner. You don't want nobody going to make you feel worse than what you really are. And when you're thinking about doing something you should not do, you don't want nobody in your corner that's going to encourage you to sin. I was thinking about that this morning with my wife. I said, I thank the Lord for my wife. I said, I thank the Lord for her. And as much as we love to be together physically, I enjoy being with my wife physically. I just enjoy my wife. But I also enjoy the realness. And when I say the realness is, we keep the main thing the main thing. And that's our soul. When I'm feeling low, she know it and she call me on it. When she feeling low, I know it and I call her on it. We're there most of all to make sure that at the end of the day, you stay saved. You know, don't you lose Jesus. Don't you lose Jesus. Don't lose Jesus for nothing. Now, just imagine if I had somebody there that did not have a mind to want to be saved. That's when Jesus' message kicks in. When he says, do what? Save yourself. In other words, because you're going to stand before Jesus by yourself. You're not going to stand with mother, father. You're not going to stand with your sister or your brother. You're not going to stand with your husband or your wife. You're going to stand all by yourself. Jesus, even though he told mankind it wasn't good for him to be alone, did not erase personal accountability when they messed up. He called them out individually. He didn't say, Eve, where were you at? He called out to Adam, right? And then when he called out to Adam, Adam gave him the response that I hid myself because I was naked. Jesus told Adam, who told you you were naked? Did you do something I told you not to do? In other words, did you eat that fruit that I told you not to eat of? He said, the woman that you gave to me, and she told me to eat. And then he said to the woman, but the woman said, the serpent gave it to me. And as I say it all the time, that poor old serpent couldn't blame nobody. He was going to blame somebody. He should have blamed the devil. But the serpent couldn't do that. So the Lord dealt with him individually. And that's why it's so important to understand the proverb letter when it says the way that seems right. When that Eve ate of that fruit and Adam ate of that fruit, regardless of what the serpent said, what did Jesus say? Right. Jesus said, the day that you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. But it seemed right to follow Satan. Right. It seemed okay to do what the devil said do. Yeah. But what did it result in? It resulted in death. Yeah. It resulted in death. It resulted in them messing up what Jesus had put together. Right? That's the truth. It messed up what Jesus had put together. Jesus had organized the relationship to be blessed. But when they went down a path that wasn't like Jesus, it messed up that relationship. Now you got the man turning on the woman and the woman turning on the man. And that fight, that tussle, that argument, that discord is going to be with them until they die. The scripture says that now, Eve, you're going to be subject to your husband. That's the discord. Discord, you got to do what your husband do, say do. Now also, you're going to be in pain bearing children. That's the discord. Something that should have been a pleasurable process is now going to be painful, right? Now, Adam, in other words, now you are going to have to work hard for every dollar you get. You're going to have to work hard for all the bread that you eat. That's the discord. When the Lord gave them food, remember every tree in the garden was pleasant to the eye. Tree desired, a tree for good for food, pleasant to the eye. All of the trees were. But when they ate of that fruit that Jesus told them not to, the Lord reversed that thing. Now the Lord said, I'm not going to provide that fruit for you no more. You're going to have to work for it. Ground is going to fight against you. Thorns and thistles, right? That's what the Lord says. From the sweat of your brow, what you're going to have to do to eat your bread. And these are the things we have to keep before ourselves, saints. When you are considering companionship, considering friendship, you got to consult Jesus first. Jesus, is this the divine plan that you have for me? Is this going to help me go back with you when you come? Because I definitely don't want anything in my life that's going to hinder me. I don't want anybody in my life that's going to cause me to do evil. That's what Ahab didn't think about. Ahab, when he chose Jezebel, he chose her for her appearance. He chose her for her stature. He chose her because of what she looked like here in earth. But little did he know, she was not interested in Jesus. She had no mind to serve Jesus. She had her own God but that she was worshiping. And it looked like to me, if he would have looked at her through spiritual eyes first, he would have said, that's not for me. Huh? What you say, Darian? That's dirty. Don't touch the unclean thing, right? It's not for me, right? It's out there. It's not saying it's not available. It's available. But you got to know it's not for you. Everything out there is not for you, saints, right? That's the truth. Everything out there is not for you. Every friendship is not going to be a good friendship. Some friends will do more evil to you than good. That's the truth, saints. That's why you got to be very careful about who you connect with, who you let get into your ear, who do you let counsel you. Come on, saints, it's the truth. Because you look at what did Ahab do? Ahab joined himself with a woman that did not have a mind to serve Jesus, with a woman that went so far as to put up statues and saying that these are God. Huh? No statue brought them out of Egypt. Didn't no statue feed them when they were hungry? Didn't no statue cause Pharaoh's army to drown in that sea? Jesus did that. But you see what Jezebel did? She did not have a mind to learn about Jesus, nor did she have a mind to follow Jesus. She was convinced in her mind that Baal is God. Huh? Come on, saints, you got to be careful about who you join yourself with. That's why you should be asking that person, who is your God? And if they can't give you that answer, you need to know that that's not for me. That's not for you. If you don't know who God is, you are not for me. That's the truth, saints, because you want somebody to know that knows that Jesus Christ is God. So want somebody that knows and believes that. Somebody that is convinced that Jesus is God. That's who you want to get into your ear. Why? Because the devil is going to be attacking you day in and day out, trying to prevent you from doing what Jesus say do. And you're going to need somebody in your ear to remind you. You better do what the Lord say do. You better do what Jesus say do, because Jesus is going to judge you. Jesus is going to judge you in righteousness. Huh? Even when you get slowed up. When your body gets slowed up, when your mind get all weary and funny, you need somebody in your corner that tells you need to pray. I think you're not praying enough. I think you're not fasting enough. You don't want nobody around telling you what you want to hear. You want somebody around you that's going to tell you what you need in order to go back with Jesus when he comes. That's the truth, saints. Ahab had somebody in his ear that didn't tell him what he needed to know. Therefore, the scripture says because he had a devil that he joined himself with. Jezebel was a devil. He had a devil that he joined himself with. You look at what the scripture says about his lifestyle. Said he did worse. That's what 1 Kings chapter number 30, verse 16 and verse number 33 says. He did worse. He did worse than all of the other kings that were before him, right? That's the truth. That lets you know these friendships will do more harm to you than good. It'll take you down deeper into a pit of sorrow. As the truth, when you should be living a life happy, you'll be somewhere sad. You'll be somewhere crying when you should be laughing, right? All because you done joined yourself up with the devil. Huh? Yeah, that's kind of what I got to do, and you got to deal with it. Why? Because you done joined up with it. Huh? Only thing I can tell you to do is pray the Lord to give you the strength to deal with that old devil. Huh? Especially when you done made a bond with him. When you done made a connection with him. I'm trying to tell you to not do it before you commit yourself. Huh? Don't be committed to the devil. Don't be committed to Satan, right? Huh? Satan is on his way to the pit. And he's enjoying that trip all the way down. He don't know what it's going to be like when he get there, but he's on his way there. Sad thing is, he already know he can't get off of it. You dealing with a fella that ain't got nothing to lose. He ain't got nothing to lose because he know he can't be saved no way. Huh? I told you all the worst person to deal with. Somebody that you know is on death row. Why? Because they ain't got nothing to lose. He said, if I kill you, what harm you going to do to me? I'm already going to die anyway. I've already got a date. I already got a date that I already set in stone, and I'm going to leave here. If I don't like you, I'm going to kill you anyway, right? That's the truth. Say, ain't got nothing to live for, right? Ain't got no motivation to preserve nobody's life. Why? Because he ain't even preserved. So what you think he think about yours? And that's the same way with Jezebel. She didn't know life. She didn't know life because she didn't know Jesus. And because she didn't know Jesus, she had no value for life. Why you got to be careful about who you connect with.
Right.
These people that don't have no value for life, they'll mess you up.
Right.
They don't know no Jesus, therefore they could care less about Jesus.
Yes.
I wouldn't want somebody in my ear that curses the God that I serve.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
I know you may have some little friends that you may talk to. And then when you tell them, you say, well, you need to come to church with me. They ain't tell you out of their own mouth. I don't want nothing to do with no church. I can't stand church. I don't believe it. You let that blow right over your head. And you say, oh, okay, we won't talk about church no more. Let's talk about other stuff.
Right.
Don't be a fool.
Right.
That person done told you they are a devil.
Right.
They are a Christ rejecter.
Right.
Why would you want somebody like that in your circle?
Right.
They're not going to be there to help you when you're down, right?
Right.
They're trying to tell you flat out, I'm on my way to the pit. And they're trying to say, why don't you join me as we go together? And before you know it, you'll be doing what they do. And they ain't got no mind to be saved, but they telling you everything to do. Telling you everything to do, telling you everything to watch, telling you everything to wear, telling you who to talk to, giving you all kind of ungodly counsel. And the Lord done told you that's not the blessed man. That's not the blessed man that sits in the council of stuff like that. You sit in the council of the ungodly or the council of the scornful. The scripture says you're going to be like the chaff, blown away, right? And whatever you put your hands to, it's not going to be blessed. The Lord going to curse it, right? That's the truth, saints. All because you made an ungodly connection. Now you all in your packets have an example of when you put a person like Jezebel in your circle. When the king desired to have something that belonged to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Nahab had some property. And Nahab said, the king started talking to him, and Nahab said, no, I'm not willing to let this property go. I want to keep this.
Mm-hmm.
King said he went home sad, crying, moping, depressed, because it wasn't going to work out the way he thought it was going to work out. And when you get down in the verse number 7, look at verse number 7 in your Living Bible. I gave you all the Living Bible printout. Look at verse number 7. And this is what Jezebel is saying to him. She, see how she's trying to stroke his anger? Huh? What did she say to him? Are you the king or not? Huh? That's why you don't need no woman in your circle that's going to stroke your anger. Especially when somebody do something that you don't like. And you go and share that with somebody that's supposed to be a friend?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody that's supposed to have your best interest at heart?
Right.
You see what she said out of her mouth? She said, are you the king? You already know that I'm the king. Huh? You already know. That's like a woman saying, are you a man? You already know that I'm a man. Huh? But
yeah.
They let you see that question. They're trying to stroke some anger inside of you.
Yeah.
They're trying to stroke some thoughts inside of you that shouldn't be there.
Right.
Huh? Shouldn't entertain it as a saint. Huh? That's what happened with Ahab. Ahab, when he started talking to Jezebel, she put a thought inside his mind. In other words, what kind of a thought? In other words, an unrighteous thought. An ungodly thought. In other words, you can have whatever you want. You are like God. Huh? You don't have to ask for nothing. Whatever you want, you take it. Huh? That would the devil want to put it in your mind to be that same kind of way. Put it in your mind to make you think you ain't got to work for stuff that you got.
Right.
Now, when people are giving you things, it's a blessing. It's a blessing when somebody gives you something.
Right.
When somebody is bestowing kindness to you, it's a blessing.
Right.
It's not something that they owe you.
Right.
Huh? Those that get food stamps, those that get all kind of assistance, it's a blessing.
Oh, yeah.
It's not something that nobody owe you. You can't come walking into the office talking about what's mine. I didn't get mine. What you mean yours? Well, don't forget you didn't work for it.
Yeah.
Somebody is saying they're willing to help you in your hour of need, right? So therefore you can't get no attitude. You can't get in this attitude like somebody owes you something, right? Come on, it's the truth, saints. And it's the same way when the Lord bless you to sit at somebody's table. When the Lord has blessed somebody to be kind to you. You can't thumb your nose up and say, no, I don't want none of this food. I don't want any of this meat. I don't want any of this bread. I don't want this to drink. Who are you? Somebody start kindness enough to be gracious and kind of bestow kindness
to you, the least you can do is be appreciative, right? That's the truth.
True.
The least you can do is be appreciative. You definitely don't want to go around and have a Jezebel in your ear talking like this. Huh? What did Jezebel say wrong? She tried to remind him of something. She said, well, you are, aren't you the king? Huh? She wasn't saying it in a positive way. She was trying to say it in a negative way. Huh? Come on, saints, it's the truth. That's what she said. Aren't you the king? Keep reading a little bit more.
Are you the king of Israel or not?
Are you a man or not? Shame on me if I got to the scutter and she fleshly and somebody walk up and knock her soda out of her hand. And they say, oh, I'm so sorry, ma'am. Please forgive me. And then she looked over at me. And I hear the man apologize. And she look over at me and say, I thought you was a man. I thought you were supposed to protect me. Then you're going to let some man come knock my soda out of my hand and you ain't going to say nothing about it? What kind of a man are you? You don't need no woman like that in your corner. Huh? She going to cause you to put up your fist when you ain't got to put up your fist. The man done said he's sorry, right? That's the truth. That's why you got to be careful about who you let into your circle. Huh? I'm trying to help you to understand it's a way that seems right. But the end thereof are the ways of death, saints. Don't you go down that path. If you know it's not Jesus, don't you go down that path, right? Ain't going to bring you nothing but trouble. Read a little bit more.
Get up and eat.
Uh-huh.
Don't worry about it. I'll get you neighbors.
And isn't that the truth? Look how she said it. I'm going to get it. Come on, read a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. So she wrote letters and Ahab's
name. Oh, hold up, hold up. Who is the king? Who is the king?
Ahab.
But who's writing the letters? She first of all, she's willing to lie for him. You don't want nobody in your corner that's willing to lie for you. Since God ain't going to be no good to me if she's willing to lie for me. And I know we're trying to get something. I say, baby, just tell this. And she said, well, that ain't true. Well, tell it anyway because it's going to help us get it. She got to say, no, I will not. I'm not going to participate in your deceit. Ain't no good going to come forth from this, right? Ain't no good going to come forth from this. At the end of the day, we might get by the lie today. But what's going to happen down the road? What's going to happen down the road when the Lord pours out righteousness? When the Lord demands righteousness in this situation, we're not going to stand. We're going to fail, right? Because we didn't start off right, right? That's the truth. That's why you got to be careful. These little side schemes. Huh? Look at what she said. She said it out of her mouth. I'm going to write stuff in the name of Ahab. Now, if he was the king, he should have stopped her. Right? If he was the king, he should have stopped her.
Right.
Look like to me, he should have said, hold up, don't nobody write for me. Any writing going to get done and got my name on it, I'm going to write it.
Right.
But I let you see who was really in control.
Right.
That's the truth, saints. You don't want no friend in your life that takes away control from you.
Right.
That seizes your ability to think for yourself.
Right.
That tries to control you and the situation, right? You don't want nobody like that in your circle. That ain't no true friend. That's a manipulator. That's somebody that's got self-will, right? They're not thinking about your best interest. They're thinking about themselves, right? Read a little bit more.
So she wrote letters in Ahab's name.
Yep.
Sealed them with his seal.
Mm-hmm.
And addressed them to the civic leaders of Jezreel.
Mm-hmm.
Where Naboth lived. In her letter she commanded, call the citizens together for fasting and prayer.
Yep.
Then summoned Naboth and found two scoundrels who were accused.
In other words, find a liar. Find some liars.
Uh-huh.
Huh? Mm-hmm. Find some liars to help me do my dirt.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Keep going.
She found two scoundrels who were accused him of cursing God and the king.
Yep.
Then take him out and execute him.
Yep.
The city fathers follow the king's instructions.
Now who were they following instructions?
The queen.
Yeah, but they thought it was Ahab. Huh? They thought it was Ahab. Why? Because it had Ahab's seal. And it was signed Ahab, right? But who wrote it? Jezebel. Huh? That's why you got to be careful, saints. You got to be careful about these quote-unquote friends. that you got in your circle, because they'll be saying you said something that you did not say. Huh? I know them real well, and they would do it like this. Hold up. No, maybe not. Maybe I wouldn't do it like that. But a real friend would say, you need to go to the source. Huh? What you think Stephen going to do? I think you need to go ask Stephen and stop asking me. My name is not Stephen, right? Huh? That's what a real friend would say. Real friend wouldn't go talking for you. Real friend wouldn't go thinking for you. Huh? That lets you know Jezebel was really not a friend to Ahab. Because she was what? Self-willed. She was going to do things the way she wanted to do them, right? Keep going.
They called a meeting and put Naboth on trial.
Yep.
Then two men who had no conscience accused him of cursing God and the king.
Yep.
And he was dragged outside the city and stoned to death.
To death.
The city officials then sent word to Jezebel and Naboth that Naboth was there.
Yep.
When Jezebel heard the news, she said to Ahab, You know the vineyard neighbor wouldn't sell you.
Uh-huh.
So you can have it.
You can have it now. Uh-huh.
So Ahab went down to the vineyard to claim it.
Jesus.
But the Lord said to Elijah,
Jesus,
go to Samaria to meet King Ahab.
Yep.
He will be at neighbor's vineyard.
Uh-huh. That's why I said I was torn between two thoughts this morning. Because I want you to understand the Lord sees you.
Yeah.
Lord sees everything.
Yeah.
Huh? Lord don't miss nothing. You say, let us cut it, don't see. Don't worry about me. I'm not your God. I'm not going to be the one that's going to judge you. You need to understand the eyes of the Lord are in every place. It beholds the good and the evil. And the Lord will judge you accordingly. Huh? The Lord will call judgment on you accordingly. Why? Because he sees what you're doing. And if you claiming to be somebody that the Lord know you not, he's going to call you out, right? He's going to pull the covers off of you, right? That's the truth. Think of Darren said that this morning. The devil be in your mind telling you to go do this, and then you want to be holy a little bit and be on this side a little bit. It don't work. Huh? Don't you realize what the Lord said? You double-minded. You double-minded. Don't let that man think you're going to get nothing from Jesus. I don't care how much you pray, how much you fast, how much you cry, how much you shout, how much you praise. The Lord said, I'm looking at your mind. And I know your mind is double-minded. I know your mind is on both sides of the fence. You need to make your mind up. Who are you going to serve, right? That's the truth, saints. Don't be no coward. Make up your mind. Who you going to be serving? Say, if you're going to serve Jesus, say, I'm going to serve the Lord. Serve the Lord and be glad about serving Jesus. I don't care who ain't got no mind to serve the Lord. You say, I'm going to serve the Lord because I know it's right. And I believe what the Lord say in his word is true. I believe Jesus coming back again. I believe he's coming back for a group of people that are without spot or blemish. People that have made up their mind and they're willing to live for the Lord Jesus. Huh? That's who the Lord is coming back for. That's who Jesus is going back. Those that are going back in the rapture are people that want to be with Jesus. Not people that want to be down here in this world. People that want to be with Jesus. People that don't mind praising the Lord. People that don't mind living for Jesus. People that don't mind studying the Lord's word. People that don't mind doing what Jesus say do. Even when it hurts, right?
That's the
truth. You want to have people in your corner like that. Say, Elder Scudder, I'm trying to go back with Jesus. That's who you need to have in your corner then. That's who you need to be riding around with. Somebody that you know got a mind to go back with Jesus. But if they got the audacity to tell you flat footed that they don't want to be saved, why are you sitting with them? You need to stop the car right there and say, get out. Huh? Why are you putting me out my car? Because I'm trying to go back with Jesus and you done told me you ain't got no mind to do it, right? Huh? That's the truth. Stop your fellowship right now. Stop your communicating with them right now. Why? Because they done told you. They don't have no mind to be saved. Huh? Why would the Lord bring somebody into your life that got a mind to be saved and you too busy entertaining people that ain't got no mind to be saved? Why would the Lord mess up a person that got a mind to be saved when you ain't got no mind to be saved? Why would the Lord mess up somebody's sincere prayer that said, Jesus, I really want to be saved, and bring them to you when you ain't got no mind to do it, right? You too busy living two different lives, right? It don't add up, right? That's the truth.
Yeah.
Ahab could never be the king Jesus wanted him to be. Why? Because he made the wrong choice. Could he have chosen and done something better? Could he have fixed that mistake? Yeah, he had to get Jezebel out of his house. But it don't look good for me to get her out. Well, it didn't look good for you to marry her either. Seemed like to me I would rather walk alone than to walk with the devil. Yeah, but everybody understand what I just said?
Yeah.
It seemed like to me you better walk alone than to sit up and walk with the devil. Because the devil done made up their mind they don't want to be saved. You only fooling yourself. For you know it, that same spirit that was in Jezebel is going to get into your quote-unquote friend. And they're going to get you into a bunch of mess. Fighting mess. Stuff you shouldn't be doing, there's no saying. One writer said stuff that shouldn't be named once among you. As someone that becoming holy. You don't want nobody to put you in the mess like that. Not in no pits like that. You don't want anybody in your circle like that. Read a little bit more.
Give him this message from me.
Yes.
Isn't killing neighbor bad enough?
Didn't you just murder the fellow? Now, as though murdering is not enough, now you're going to take his property. You're gonna kill him and steal him. Now, ain't nobody look like that but the devil himself.
Right.
Jesus done told you in John chapter number 10 and verse number 10, the thief cometh not but to do what? Steal, kill, and do what? And what did, so that let you know, that wasn't no Jesus.
No.
That looked just like the characteristics of Satan. What does he do? He killed. Nahab is dead. And now he's trying to steal. Kill, steal, right? And destroy him, right? Keep reading a little bit further.
You have done this. Dogs shall lick your blood outside the city, just as they lick the blood of Nathan.
Now, I want you to understand something, saints, understand something. Just because you think you're getting by now, doesn't mean the Lord haven't already pronounced a judgment on you. You could be walking around glad, and the Lord done say it, you did. Hold up. Yo, Elder Scott, you shouldn't say nothing like that. I didn't say it. It's already in your book. Ahab was glad. Ahab was walking down in Nahab's garden glad. He was glad because he was going to do what? Get it. But what did the Lord say? You dead. He was walking around glad, but he was already what? Dead. In the eyesight of Jesus. Now, this is what we got to be careful about, saints. We don't want no judgments to be on us because of the way that we're doing what we live in. We live in foul. You don't want to be living foul, do you? But I want my life to be a sweet-smelling savor. I want the Lord to be pleased with me when he smells me, right? That's the truth, saints. Now, next story is dealing with Ananias and Sapphira. Ananias and Sapphira. That's a good one too. Look at Acts chapter number 5, 1 through 11, I believe it is. Let's read that. Yes, from the Living Bible.
Verse number 1 says, "But there was a man named Ananias,
yes,
with his wife Sapphira, who sold some property and brought only part of the money."
Now, hold up. Y'all need to put a little note there. That's your tithing. This is equivalent to tithes. You know what the Lord told you to do. He told you to bring the first fruit of all your increase, right? 10% belongs to Jesus. Before you do anything else, bring the Lord what belongs to him, right? Lord said, if you don't do that, you are a God robber. Huh? You didn't just rob me, you robbed from the whole nation. In other words, from the church, right? You've taken away from the Lord's storehouse, right? That's the truth. Now look at what, now at the end of the day, who knew that they did this? Jesus. Jesus knew that they did it. Jesus said, you done sold it, but you only brought back what? Part. Huh? You didn't bring all your tithes in. Huh? You know the Lord gave you $100. You know you owe him 10.
Right.
Don't come bringing him 9.
That's right.
Don't come bringing him $5. Don't come bringing him $1. Yes. Huh?
That's right.
Because you ain't fooling nobody but yourself. Because the Lord said, I know what I put into you.
Right.
Right? And don't bring me a part of it. Bring me everything I do. Right? Huh? But the Lord said, bring me everything that I do. Right? Come on, saints, it's the truth. Look at what Ananias and Sapphira did. They only bought a part of it, right? Thinking that nobody else knew what they was doing. Read a little bit more.
They claimed it was the full price.
Hold up. They lied. They lied. They said, but this is all we do owe. Huh? Lord said, no. The money that I bought in was 100. It wasn't $9.99. It was 100.
Jesus.
You owe me 10. 10. Right? And that's just the what? The tithe. Lord said, bring me what? The tithe and the offering, right?
Right.
That's the truth, thanks. Read a little bit more.
His wife had agreed to this deception. But
see,
said,
why you don't want to have the wrong people in your circle? Huh? This wasn't no good wife. This wasn't no good friend. A good friend and a good wife is not going to agree to you lying, right?
Right.
Read a little bit more.
But Peter said, Ananias, Satan has filled your heart.
That's
when
the
you
truth.
You claimed this was the full price. You were lying to the whole world. The property was yours to sell or not, as you wished. And after selling it, it was yours to decide how much to give.
Choices.
How could
choices.
You do such a thing like
choices.
That? You weren't lying to us, but to God. As soon as Ananias heard these words, he fell to the floor.
Judgment. Huh? Judgment.
Terrified.
Right. That we used to sing sing that song. Uh-oh, judgment. As children, we used to sing that song. I see the signs of the judgment.
Right.
Yes. Yes, I see the sign of the judgment.
Yes.
Time is drawn nigh. Then the other little part, they say, oh, judgment. As children, we didn't say, oh, judgment. We said, uh-oh, judgment. Huh? In other words, you in trouble. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Judgment. Huh? What happened to Ananias? That fella dropped dead, right? Keep going.
Everyone was terrified. And the younger men covered him with a sheet and took him out and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what happened.
Oh.
Peter asked her, Did your people sell your land for such and such a price? Yes, she replied, we did. And Peter said, how could you and your husband even think of doing a thing like this?
Lying.
Conspiring together to test the spirit of God's
Jesus.
Ability.
Lying.
You know what is going on?
Lying. Call it for
door.
What it is. Saints, call it. I said this to you Friday. You cannot play with that spirit. Call it for what it is. It's sin. You need someone in your circle that's going to call it for what it is. If it's wrong, it's wrong.
Right.
You don't need nobody to tell you, oh, it's okay. It's all right. You're just not feeling well today. No, it's wrong.
Right.
They caught you at a bad time. No, it's wrong. Cuss word is a cuss word.
Right.
Huh? You say, well, I'm just feeling a little weak. Well, you and your weak self is going to go to hell.
Yeah.
Right? Keep going a little bit further.
Mm-hmm. And it says here, how could you and your husband even think of doing a thing like this? Aspiring to test the spirit of God's ability to know what is going on.
Yeah.
Just outside that door are the young men who
buried your husband.
And they will carry you out too.
Uh-huh.
Instantly she fell to the floor dead.
Yep.
And the young men came in and seeing that she
was dead,
carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Terror gripped the entire church. And all others who heard what had happened.
Yes. You don't want anybody like that in your circle, saints. You got to be careful about the type of friends that you choose.
Mm-hmm.
Friends, you want people like, you look at a good example Ananias and, not Ananias and Sapphira, but Aquila and Priscilla.
Right, right.
Look at Romans 16, 3 through 4. Paul and Silas. That's a good friend, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Both of them was locked in jail. They weren't complaining, yeah, but they were praying and praising
right.
Jesus.
Right.
That's a good friend, isn't
right.
it?
Yeah. Romans 16, 3 and 4, Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus.
What were they? They were helpers.
Right.
Well, can someone say that about you? Huh? A helper. A helper. As saints, we want to be a helper to one another.
Right?
Right? I don't want to do anything that's going to hinder you from serving the Lord. I don't want to do anything that's going to make you feel less than. I want to do things that's going to help you stay motivated.
Right.
Stay positive.
Yeah.
Keep your head lifted up high.
Right.
Huh? I don't want to make comments that's going to tear you down.
Yeah.
Tear your spirit down.
Yeah.
I don't want to do anything like that. Why? Because you are my helper. Both of us are here because we're trying to go back with Jesus when he comes, right? And the last thing I want to do is give you a reason to doubt Jesus. That's the truth, saints. But look at what Paul said about Aquila and Priscilla.
And my helpers in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Who have for my life laid down their
lives. And is that a good friend?
Yeah.
A good friend will look and look beyond their own circumstance and think about you. Huh? I try my best to be a good friend. Huh? All of you. I do my best. I try my best to be a good friend to you. Huh? Try my best to be there for you. Huh? That's the truth. Why? Because I'm trying to lay down a what? An example. But how you should be treating one another. Right? Come on, saints. I don't want you to find no error in me. I don't want nobody to come around me and say, oh, Elder Scudder, I could depend on you. I thought when I needed you the most, you would be right there for me. I want to be right there. I want to be right there when you need it, right? Now, I ain't telling you that I'm going to be there all the time. Sometimes you're going to have to go through some stuff. But when I can get there, you best believe I'm going to be right there. Why? Because I'm trying to lay an example for you of what it looks like to have a good friend in your circle. Huh? And I'm not definitely going to tell you to do something wrong. I'm not going to lead you down that path that goes to death. Huh? But I'm going to tell you, you better think about that thing twice. Such. I'm getting ready to go around the corner and go deal with that. Well, I think you better stay from around that corner. Because ain't no good going to come from that. Call the police. Let the police deal with it, right? Huh? Oh, you don't understand. I'm trying to tell you, call the police. This is not something that you need to get yourself involved in. The law is for the lawless. Huh? Those that don't want to abide by rules, right? You are not the lawmaker. Huh? You are not the enforcer, nor the executor, right? Huh? That's the truth, saint. You'll get yourself in a bunch of mess. Huh? And if you ain't careful, the devil might be bigger and bolder than you. Huh? That's the truth, saints. Devil don't fight fair.
Right.
Huh? Here you come and say, well, let's talk about this. The devil say, I don't want to talk. I want to be violent. I want to fight, right? Huh? That's the truth, saints. That's how you mess around. You mess around. You try to work with the devil. Ain't trying to be fair. Devil don't operate fairly. He don't operate fairly. He don't do things fair. You read a little bit more.
It says, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles.
Yes.
Likewise, greet the church that is in their house.
Yeah. See what kind of friend these folk were? These people that were willing not just lay down their life for Paul, but for the saints also.
Mm-hmm.
Saints didn't have a place to have service. They said, y'all come and have service in my house. How many of you would be willing to do something like that? Church couldn't function because if something was, out of place, the water was off, the power was off, or the place was made condemned. Are you willing to open up your doors and say, saints, come on, let's not stop having service. Come have service in my home, right? That's the truth, saints. You got to be willing to be that way. In the eyesight of Jesus, you can't be saying, well, I don't want nobody in my house. I don't know y'all. I don't want y'all sitting on my furniture.
Jesus.
Using my bathroom.
Help us.
Huh? That's the truth. What kind of friend are you? Huh? What kind of friend are you? Y'all done got real quiet. I guess I said, Jesus. Okay, you know what come to mind? Well, I'm trying to tell you, you better change your mind quickly.
Jesus. That's right.
Better change your mind really quickly.
Amen.
Because that attitude is not like Jesus.
That's right.
It's not like Jesus. It's not like Jesus. I got scripture to back me up. You go find a scripture to tell you what's the only one the Lord tell you to keep out your house is the devil. He tell you to keep the same thing. He told you to keep the devil out your house, right? Come on. Give me another one. 2 Timothy 4, 10 through 11, and I'm going to let you go. Holy friends, right? Don't y'all want that? Holy friends, right? Huh? Some righteous friends. Some righteous friends. Going to keep you on the right path. But that scripture say 2 Timothy 4, 10 through 11. 2 Timothy 4, 10 through 11. You don't want nobody like that into your circle, right? You don't want a friend that's going to do what? Forsake you.
Having loved this present world.
More than he loved Jesus.
And is departed unto Thessalonians. Ephesians to Galatians. Titus unto Dalmatians.
Yes.
Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee.
Yes.
For he is profitable for
me. Yes. Yes. Keep on. What did you do? Is that number 11?
11.
Yeah, that's all I wanted. Mm-hmm. You see what happened? You don't want friends like that in your circle.
Right.
What did Demas do?
He forsook him.
But what did Mark do?
Mark was still there.
Yeah, stayed right there with him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did they? How were they? They weren't taken away from him. They were profitable.
Right.
And I ain't talking about money.
No.
Don't always think about profit as money. According to the scripture, say all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and that is what profitable, right? You got somebody in your ear that's giving you what thus saith the Lord.
Right.
The word says this, right? Well, it's got I don't think I can make it. But let me tell you, this is what the word says. Now, it's up to you to take that word and believe it, right? But this is what the word says, right?
Amen.
Somebody say something about they sick. What did they say? Somebody said, well, this morning, somebody testified, said they were sick. They had all these conditions or whatever.
Okay.
Well, I'm not going to tell you to go listen to the doctor. I'm going to tell you what thus saith the Lord.
Right.
The Lord say he can heal, right?
Yeah.
Lord is a healer, right? Now, the doctors can say all of this, but I'm going to tell you the Lord can heal you. I don't care what the condition is, what the circumstances is. You keep believing Jesus, no matter what the report says, no matter how the devil afflicts your body, you keep believing Jesus. You keep reminding yourself, Lord, you are a healer. Even when you can't do, Jesus, you are a healer. Say it from the depths of your soul. Jesus, you are a healer. Right?
Thank you, Jesus.
That's the
truth. Yes, he is. Thank you, Jesus.
And that's positive.
That's right. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
But you also need somebody in your corner that's going to let you know when you're wrong, too.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
Look. Way you talk to such and such is not right.
Right.
What you saying, it wasn't right.
Right.
Huh? But he know I'm playing. It wasn't right.
Right.
Lord told you to love the saints, right? It wasn't right.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
And it's up to you to say, Jesus, help me.
Right.
Take that playing spirit out of me.
Yes.
It's the truth, saints. Lord calling for love from the saints, right? Now, you ain't going to find no love out there in that world, but in the church, you ought to find some love. The Lord is calling for love in the household of God, right? Putting others before yourself. Huh? See, donuts is back there. You see somebody saying, there's a donut here. Does anybody want this donut? No, I don't want it. Okay, well, I'm going to take it. You know what? I changed my mind. What kind of donut is it? It's one of those French donuts. I really wanted it. I did have a desire for that. Oh. But I already asked you. It's too late now. That's not the right spirit. Huh? Put others before yourself, right? I'm just trying to give you a tangible example, right? Something that you can touch, right? Jesus, help me, right? Jesus, help me. Help me not to be so selfish. To think about myself more than I think about others, right? Even when you know they wrong. Because you did ask. See, you did ask and they are wrong. They are wrong, but at the end of the day, who you going to let deal with them? Let the Lord deal with them. Lord, see them in their old error ways. Lord, see them in their error ways. Lord, see, man. Lord, see, now, the brother did ask, did anybody want it? Yes. And you said no. But then when the brother said, well, then I'm going to take it, then you automatically wanted it. Lord said, but that's not right. But you do what's right.
Right.
You do what's right, and you say, huh, take it. Take it. Oh, thank you so much. Let that wrong person go right on out the door with that donut and let the Lord deal with them.
That's right.
Because I guarantee you, I'm going to tell you how the Lord will do it. Lord will make that stomach upset.
Yeah.
That donut won't go down like it's supposed to.
Right.
When it was supposed to be something tasty,
right,
it's going to be spoiled.
Yeah. Yeah,
all because right, you had the wrong motives, right?
Right?
Amen.
Then that brother come back to you and say, well, you know what? That donut that you gave me, it wasn't no good. It was rotten. Oh, you don't say, well, that's what you get anyway for asking. No, as a saint,
Jesus.
You say, oh, I'm so sorry to hear that.
Thank you, Jesus.
Maybe you should not eat, don't stay away from the donuts for a little while. Maybe it's not for you. Right?
Yeah.
Let's keep it real general. Maybe it's not for you. Right?
Yeah.
You mess around and gave me a spoon. No, I didn't give you anything. Because I was going to take it myself. But you said, give it to me. And I said, sure. Right?
Yeah.
See the difference, saints? See how saints got to be?
Yeah.
I'm not trying to tell you people, not everybody ain't going to be right.
No.
I'm just trying to tell you it is impossible for everybody in this church to be right, and we ain't got a lot of people.
Yeah.
Huh? Now imagine when more come in. I'm telling you, before they get in the door, they all are not going to be right.
Right.
But that is not an excuse for you to do what they're doing, right? You stand for what's right. You treat them the way that Jesus told you to treat them, right? And you let Jesus deal with the errors of their ways. Because if anybody know how to correct them, Jesus know what he doing. As Ananias and Sapphira, does Jesus know what he's doing? They will come back from the grave and tell you, yes, he will drop you dead, right? Huh? He will drop you dead right where you are. All because you didn't do right by the saints. All right? All right, saints. Trust y'all got something out of the word. I'm going to stop right now. Watch those relationships. Okay? Amen. Watch those relationships. Huh? Stop calling everybody your friend. Because they may not be your friend. And you better check with Jesus first. Better check with the Lord. Lord, did you bring this into my life? Or was this the devil? Huh? Lord, if this is Satan, take them away. And don't go running behind them. They may stop calling. Don't go running behind them. You say, oh, the Lord done answered. He took them away. Then they call back 3-4 months later. Yeah, I thought about you. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you did. But the Lord had already spoken to me. What did the Lord tell you? Don't worry about it. He told me enough. That's why I didn't call you. Right?
That's right.
Lord told me enough. That's why I did not call you. What you trying to say? That the Lord don't want me into your life? What I'm saying is what I said to you in the beginning. You must be, you've got to be born again. Born upon what? The water and the spirit, right? There you go with all that Jesus stuff again. Amen. I'm happy with Jesus alone.
Amen.
Huh? Some folk like treasures, money, and riches, but I'm happy with Jesus alone. Well, I guess that's it for us. Amen. Now, they just came to that conclusion, but the Lord done told me 3 months ago. That's why I stopped calling you, right? That's the truth, saint. So you got to think about these things. And if the Lord put them into your life, then you're going to know it. Because they're going to start walking down the path of what? Righteousness. You going to church today? You going to church today? Is the church service? No, it's not service. It's Monday night. Oh, man. I really wanted to come to church for prayer. You want prayer tonight? Let me call the missionaries and check and see. Will somebody come over and have prayer with you? Yeah, because I really want to get on my knees and pray. That's somebody that you, the Lord is touching their mind. They're not focused on you, but they focused on Jesus, right? Then you could just sit back and say, Lord, keep on working. Lord, keep on working. And they call you, say, did you read any scriptures today? Is there any scriptures that you can share with me to help me keep my mind on? That's a friend. Why? Because they want the what? They want the word. They want the word. You know, I was reading this scripture the other day, and it was in my mind, and I just was puzzled about it. Can you help me understand it? That's a true friend. That's a true friend. Why? Because they want to talk about the word. They don't want to talk about no foolishness. Not going to tell you anything to take you down a path that's going to lead to what? Death. But a path that leads to what? Life. All right? All right, saints. Trust y'all got something out the word. Hide the word.